Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, how's your bull fever treating you so far?
You know, it's weird. I'm betting on a lot of these games, but I can't say that I've watched more than a half of any of the bowl games.
Yeah.
Part of that's being on the East Coast. I'll tell you, when you come back east, it really makes you miss the West Coast timing.
Yeah, definitely. Having those earlier games does seem to help. I mean, it's getting late now. It's almost, we're taping this almost 11 o'clock East time. We're not even at halftime yet for the Fight Hunger Bowl.
I know. It's one of those things, like, I remember when I first moved to the West Coast, I hated it. I was like, why? We gotta wake up so early for college football, but it's so much better to roll out of bed and foot games are already on.
Yeah, there is that downtime Sunday, just being home for this past Sunday for football on the East Coast, and yeah, just rolling out of bed and you got to kill a couple hours watching the pointless pregame.
Yeah.
And then Monday night games, you're staying up till 12:30.
It's
not conducive to my old man schedule.
I know.
All right, Ryan, real quick, in the NFL, Tony
that,
Romo.
Before What's that, up? Sean, how was your Christmas?
Oh, my Christmas. Pretty solid. Yeah, I hit my NBA three team tees.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if anyone took that,
nice.
But you're welcome.
Nice.
I had the Bulls getting 7.5, and then I just faded. I took the Bulls. I had the Heat and OKC. So very, very square in play there. But, oh, man, how bad are the Nets and the Knicks, Ron?
Horrible. And you know what's funny is I wanted to just bet against the Knicks and Nets, and I was like, you know what? Don't even bother. It's the NBA. Who knows what will happen? But as soon as I saw the scores, I was like, God damn. It seemed too easy.
And the thing is, also, I was thinking of taking action on the last two games, but I was like, Sean, you just hit a three-team tease. You had a nice Christmas. Got some cool Eagles-related swag. Just
some
walk
boxers.
Away. Yeah, I got some boxers, some mugs. I think
nice.
I might even got some slippers in there somewhere. But I was like, quit while you're ahead. Just enjoy that nice three-team tease that you can take to the weekend. And I was like, you know what? I really think Houston's gonna cover and might outright win. And I also like Clippers +3. Both would have hit. So
yeah.
Kicked myself there a little bit. But you can't complain. Can't complain when you're cashing tickets, Ryan. And, of course, not a great Christmas for Cowboys fans.
Mm.
Tony Romo officially had that surgery. So,
did he?
Yes. And I guess those head games that Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett were playing really paid off to have Chip Kelly prepare for Tony Romo for another 2 days.
That's why Jerry Jones wants to keep the Ivy League ginger around. his high intellect.
Well, that's, I mean, as an Eagles fan, regardless of how this game comes out or the outcome of this game, I am really stoked that Jerry Jones reiterated that Jason Garrett is not coaching for his job. So
I know.
Looks like we'll have, and just due to the salary cap, there's no way they can get rid of Tony Romo. So regardless of how this final game shakes out next year, we will see once again Tony Romo coming off of back surgery and Jason Garrett. So stoked for that.
Very stoked.
And what are they going to do for a defensive coordinator? Are you going to fire Monty Kiffin after one season?
I heard they're inquiring with Jim Johnson's family about maybe hiring him. Too soon.
Wow, Ryan.
You
uncomfortable.
Know. I mean, how can you get worse than – I mean, yeah. You can't get too much for it. I mean, the guy they have now is basically dead, so he's at least dead to his son. Ooh. I'm just full of him tonight, Sean. Anyway.
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on.
Agreed, Ryan. It's time to, let bygones be bygones. Okay, so we are picking up here. In our bowl preview special, part two.
Yeah.
And where do we leave off, Ryan? I think Navy.
Yeah, let's knock it out. First game, Monday, which is the 30th, is it, Sean? Monday, yep. The 30th. Ooh, it's the, oh my goodness, 11:45 a.m. kickoff. I'm guessing this is on ESPN, like every bowl seems to be on ESPN.
Yeah,
it's the Armed Forces Bowl. Also being called the Bell Helicopter Bowl? What is that? I don't. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand everything about
well, sometimes
business, but how does this help? How does this help your helicopter business? I guess maybe what? They get a bunch of free tickets that they can give to people in the armed forces to win over contracts. I'm kind of confused for some of these people how this really helps them.
Well, you know what they say, Sean? No publicity is bad publicity.
The main thing is that all these bowls operate as nonprofits, so it's not about the money, Ryan. It's about seeing student athletes succeed on and off the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, Sean, the NFL is also a nonprofit, so I mean,
that is true.
I mean, there is some ridiculousness when it comes to the tax codes and other things in this. Anyway, Armed Forces Bowl. It's 11:45 a.m. on the East Coast. Wow, like that. Middle Tennessee State versus Navy. The spread in this game, Sean, I got to pull up the updated spread. It is 6.5. Navy's the favorite. Middle Tennessee State, solid team this year. One of the teams that if you follow any of the professionals, you saw them play in Middle Tennessee State from time to time. But, man, I like Navy. I like the way they run that offense. I'm a little concerned because they've had so much time to prepare for it, Middle Tennessee State, but I just don't think they have the athletes to stop it. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the triple option. You can practice it all you want. It's not so much that. It's you know what they're going to do. It's just they have better athletes, and that's why they're successful running it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. They're just going to do it. You know they're going to do it. It's can you stop them? I don't think Middle Tennessee State can stop them. I'm going to lay the points. I wouldn't be surprised if this spread got up over a touchdown by game time. So if you like Navy, you might. There's no sense in not betting it now. So,
and what's the total on this?
The over under, Sean, is. Wow. All right. 56.5 is the total now.
Yeah. I like the under here too. I feel like, I don't know. Maybe it's old school thinking, but an early kickoff like this, I think you got to take the under.
Interesting.
Something about it.
Interesting.
And the Navy military guys are more disciplined. Used to waking up early.
Well, that's the one thing about Navy is you know they're going to be there.
Yeah, they're going to show up. This is a big game for them.
Every game's a big. I mean, they're. I don't know. They won't. They will be motivated. Anyway, moving on. The Music City Bowl, Sean. Which is.
Will we see another miracle here?
This is what gets confusing to me. It's the Music City Bowl, but it's really the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. I mean. Didn't we just go through a crisis where these companies screwed everyone? Now they have enough money to start supporting or sponsoring bowls again.
I know.
It's just, Anyway, we are seeing the Ole Miss Rebels taking on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. This spread is Georgia Tech +3. I mean, Georgia Tech basically a better version of the Navy offense. This is a tough one. My gut says to take Ole Miss. I don't typically like when these SEC schools have a lot of time to prepare for Georgia Tech because the thing with betting on Georgia Tech is if they go down early, it's over and you're going to be, it's not going to be fun to watch. But you know what? Almost 80% of the tickets are coming in on Mississippi, and I just don't think Mississippi is in that caliber of teams that I don't have a good sense in who's going to win this game. So I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take Georgia Tech, and I think they might be able to grind out a. This feels like a game that's going to be like a 27 to 24 type, or 27, 28. So I'm going to take the points. I think it's going to be a close game. And I think Georgia Tech's defense might do just enough to win this game.
Ryan, when in doubt, fade the public. So that being said, give me Georgia Tech here.
Yeah. I guess that was the ultimate decider for me, is that I don't love Georgia Tech. Yeah, but I know what it feels like to watch Virginia Tech play Georgia Tech every year. And that Georgia Tech is one of those teams that can honestly beat anyone in the country any given day. So given that Ole Miss doesn't see this offense year in and year out, even though they will have extra time to prepare, I'm going to say that they're going to have a little bit of trouble stopping it. So go Georgia Tech. Ugh. Anyway, moving on. Ooh, Sean, it's the Valero Alamo Bowl. We're going to see Oregon. Oh, pretty disappointing. Doesn't feel like Oregon's going to want to be there too much after the season they had. Seemed like a shoo-in for the national championship. Now they have to head to Texas, where they're taking on Texas in what will be Mack Brown's farewell game. This spread's 14, Sean. 13.5, 14, depending on where you're looking. It seems it's always scary when you're fading an Oregon team when it's less than a couple touchdowns. But I think we just highlighted all the reasons. This is tremendously disappointing for Oregon. They seemed at one point to be, like I said, a shoo-in for the national championship game. They've fallen all the way out. They didn't win their conference. They didn't win their division. And now they're playing the lowly Texas Longhorns. But Texas will be at home.
They'll be jacked up for
Mack
sure.
Mack Brown's last
they played
game.
They showed up a couple times, Texas, for some big games for Mack Brown.
That's what I'm saying.
They had that big upset. Who was it? Was it against Oklahoma or was it Texas Tech?
Well, they upset Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Oklahoma. Yeah, they showed up big for that game. I don't see why they won't show up big again. It's in San Antonio. They're going to want to show, you know, Texas. Texas loves Texas. So they're going to want to show that, oh, we're going out. We're taking Mack Brown out in style. So they'll kind of rally around that. And yeah, like you said, what does Oregon really have to play for? I mean, the one factor here, I think, is yes, Mariota's knee will be a lot healthier, but I just think the motivation isn't there for Oregon.
I'll tell you what the motivation is. It's Nike fleecing their pockets, telling them to go sell some shoes. I don't know. Look, I see no reason to take the dog, or no reason to take the favorite here. I'm going to take the dog, but I will say I'll probably buy it to 14 just for my own sanity.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe even get to 14.5 and make him win by 3 scores.
All right, Sean, next up. Oh, let me get the full name of this. Okay, here we go. Because I knew it was the Holiday Bowl, Sean. What I didn't know is the National University Holiday Bowl. Now, colleges are sponsoring bowl games, apparently. Wow. Mm.
All right. It's a conflict of interest. Yeah. What if National University gets involved in this bowl game?
Probably don't. I think they're probably like a University of Phoenix. You know, they don't have a real football
team. No, I know. That was kind of a joke.
I know. Thank you. Pac-12 runner-up, Arizona State, take on the Texas Tech, what are they, the Red Raiders? This spread's 14, Sean, I believe, unless it's moved since I made my notes. It is still 14. Arizona State laid a major egg in the Pac-12 championship game. That's not going to stop me from betting on them. I think Arizona State is a far superior team. Texas Tech is inconsistent. They flashed in the beginning of the season. They did not finish strong. And I think they're a team that if you get out ahead a little bit, they become very one-dimensional and predictable. I'm going to lay the big dog here. I think Arizona State may put 50 points up in this game and win by two, three touchdowns, at least two touchdowns, obviously.
I like Arizona State as well. And also, I think there's a potential for a little bit of home field here. I mean, San Diego's not that far from Arizona State's campus, and a lot of guys who don't get good grades that grew up in San Diego go to Arizona State for college. So
yeah, and all those
I bet there will be
there.
The contingency will be rooting for Arizona State.
Oh yeah,
I think the nice warm weather they light them up, and I think they win big here.
Full disclosure: Arizona State's definitely the public side here. All
right,
Sean.
Yeah, sometimes the public's right, Ryan.
Yeah. All right, Sean. New Year's Eve day. New Year's Eve. First up, big game. Big game. It's the Advocare V100 Bowl. What the fuck is going on, Sean, with these bowl sponsorships? 12:30 East Coast time on ESPN, Boston College taking on Arizona. I have no idea where this game is, Sean.
It's in Shreveport, Louisiana, Independence Stadium.
Okay. No.
Now, is that a dome? No, it wouldn't be a dome, is it? No.
Who cares? Anyway, we're going to see Boston College take on Arizona. Little ACC Pac-12 matchup. Arizona, led by Rich Rod, laying 7.5 points. Ugh. The public is in on Boston College, grabbing those points. I don't know what to think about this game. Boston College.
I like Arizona if you can get it down to 7. So maybe by the half point here. I watched Boston College play a little bit. I'm not crazy about them. And
you know what, though? They're a team that I think they're a team that can punish a Rich Rod team. They have Andre Williams, who rushed for something crazy, like 170 yards a game. They have a solid defense. Their defense isn't, I don't know. It's hard to say their defense is good. Their defense comes up with big plays. I think this could be a high-scoring game. This might be a game you look to play the over. It seems a little bit low at 57. That being said, I'm going to grab the points, and this is probably a game I'll sprinkle a little bit on the money line. I think Boston, I see no reason why Arizona should be favored by a touchdown, more than a touchdown. I kind of see these teams as being relatively somewhat even teams. And I wouldn't
have to go the other way, Ryan.
Wouldn't be surprised if Boston College won the game.
I think I'll stick with Arizona. I like what they did this year in the Pac-12, and I think they played a stronger schedule. And yeah, I think Arizona shows up here.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that wouldn't surprise me either, but I think the teams are too close to have a spread that big. Next up, beautiful El Paso, Texas. It's the Hyundai Sun Bowl. How is it that the most legitimate company we've talked about so far is hosting the bowl in El Paso? This doesn't make any sense.
The most legitimate company is Hyundai.
Yeah, I guess so. UCLA taking on Virginia Tech. Interesting. Both schools kind of meeting in the middle, surprisingly. El Paso is much closer to UCLA. Virginia Tech getting 7 in this game, and this is another bad spread. Reason being, UCLA hasn't faced a defense like Virginia Tech's all season. They maybe haven't seen an offense like Virginia Tech's either. It's pretty shitty. This is going to be a low-scoring game. The over-under is 47. This feels like a 24-20 type game. You got to take the dog here. Slightly biased, but I'm going to take the dog here.
I'm going to disagree, Ryan. I like UCLA. I like what they've done for most of the year. Obviously, they're really behind Mora here. He just got the big contract extension. I think he'll be fired up. Frank Beamer probably should have retired a few years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Coaching on fumes.
Stop it. Logan Thomas.
Well, and the Virginia – I mean – just from a sanity point, you shouldn't gamble on Virginia Tech because the couple times I've bet on Virginia Tech this year, you're just going to be pulling your hair out when.
Well,
it's
no,
in
I'll say this:
fourth quarter, and they have 6 points.
Yeah, you should never play them as a favorite, but it's okay to play them as a dog, especially getting a full touchdown. I mean, they're easily a top five defense and arguably one of the top defenses in the country.
But
Sean, if you factor in what that offense does to them, and you've watched enough games to know, it almost makes them like a locked as the number one defense because they are given bad field position time and time again.
Their defense is good. I'm not going to deny that, but I think with the turnovers, with Logan Thomas's inability to get first downs or throw accurate passes, yeah, I think he's got like a 53% completion rate.
Yep.
You're going to need to keep the UCLA's offense off the field. And I don't think Virginia Tech's offense has the ability to do that. The defense will be able to slow them down, but I still think, UCLA wins by more than the touchdown. So yeah. I got it. I got it 28-14 UCLA.
Okay. One last point. Logan Thomas is clearly not a smart person. That's what I've come to the conclusion. That's why he's not a good quarterback. But he will have this extra
proud
practice.
Tradition of Virginia Tech quarterbacks.
Oh, whoa.
The Brainiacs.
Oh, okay. Michael Vick didn't help your Eagles have a good. Anyway, look.
Marcus Vick.
Well, yeah, he wasn't
amazing. That was really who the insult was aimed at.
Well, and Sean, he really only played quarterback for one season. They saw the writing on the wall. Anyway, I think this extra practice time will help Logan Thomas. They will cover. Moving on. What do we have next, Sean? Oh, we have the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Nice. That almost kind of sounds right. We're going to see Rice taking on Mississippi State, Sean. Rice is a 7-point dog. Sean, where is this game?
It is in Memphis, Tennessee, the home of Liberty.
Oh, interesting. Is Liberty that craps, like religious college where one of those crazy whack jobs resides?
I don't know. I just made up the home of Liberty. I have no.
Okay.
I don't know why it's related to Liberty at all. But it's taking place in Memphis, Tennessee, New Year's Eve, 4 p.m. kick on the East.
On the network of networks, ESPN. Mississippi State laying a touchdown. Look. Rice, I don't know if you watched any Rice's games this year, Sean. But,
nope.
Rice is a perfect team that you love to fade come bowl time when they get to take on the SEC. Most likely, you said this in Tennessee, right?
Yep.
I'm going to guess there's going to be a couple more Mississippi State fans there than Rice fans. It's a classic game. Look, Mississippi State 6-6, Rice 10-3, yet Mississippi State laying a touchdown. Maybe Rice covers in a loss, but I can't take the points with them. I'm gonna lay the points. I think Mississippi State has the potential to roll in this game.
I'm gonna go against you here, Ryan. I like Rice getting 7 points.
Any reason?
Couldn't make a compelling reason why. This is too. I just think the public's gonna be all over Mississippi State because they're an SEC team, but. I think Rice will be a little feisty, and I like him getting 7 points.
You know why I think you might be wrong? The fact that I can look up the numbers. Right now, actually, Rice is the public team. I think the fact that people are seeing a 10-3 team playing a 6-6 team. Yeah, you can't ignore that. Sometimes that sways the public, especially when it's a 6-6 team who barely became bowl eligible. They're like, what? They're laying a full touchdown? I don't know. I really don't have a good take on this game. I don't know much about either team, but I do like the SEC when they play these win collectors from smaller conferences. All right, Sean, speaking of the SEC, Johnny Football in probably his last game as a amateur.
That implies he wasn't getting paid, Ryan. Semi-pro.
In the Chick-fil-A Bowl. I like how it's just called the Chick-fil-A Bowl. That's classy. They take on Duke. And I got to be honest, Sean. Texas A&M laying 12 points.
Whew.
Bad spread. This is a horrendously bad spread.
No love for your ACC, Ryan. Duke is kind of a quasi-legitimate team. I mean,
here's why you can't play A&M laying 12 points. A&M has maybe one of the worst defenses in the country.
Yeah, their defense is horrible.
Meanwhile, you have a Duke team who this is their Super Bowl for the program. I mean, this is the best season in Duke history. They're ranked. They have a bunch of seniors. They're well coached. This stacks up as probably my play of of this part two podcast to this point. And it's Johnny Manziel. He's already checked out. He's going to the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and
this seems
you
like
said, this
situationally,
is,
it's a great spot. So
this is Duke's Super Bowl. I mean, they did well in the ACC this year.
It's more than a Super. This is like this is the biggest game in the history of their program.
Yeah. And for them to not show up at all, I would be surprised.
And they hung with Florida State for a quarter and a half. I mean, that's kind of silly to say that, but Florida State, maybe one of the best defenses in the country. Texas A&M, no defense. So.
Yeah. I mean, what was their, they did a pretty solid season. I don't know what.
What, Duke? Duke was 10-3. A&M was 8-4.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to look up what the final was against Florida State.
Oh, it ended up not being very good. Okay. I mean, they ended up not covering, like, the 30-point spread. So,
no, I was going to use that as making a case for them. But
no,
they
played them tough.
Kind of quality opponents.
I think the key is they just – I think the key in this game for me is that you can't take a team laying that many points when they can't stop anyone.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's way too much for their defense.
They couldn't stop SMU early in the season. So anyway, moving on. New Year's Day, Sean. Always fun. Roll out of bed hungover. What are you doing for your New Year's this year? Do you have plans?
Yes, I do.
What are you doing?
I am running a cabin.
Oh, getting off the grid.
You know it, man. In Santa Barbara on the lake. So hanging out there for the evening.
Classy.
Should be a good time. Nice. Yeah. How about you?
Not sure yet. We actually won't be getting back from the East Coast until like 8 or 9 p.m. So,
oh yeah, they're still flying.
Probably just gonna wander down the street somewhere in WeHo, do a little boys town. No, I don't know. But
of course,
I'm
Ryan.
Not sure at all.
As we've mentioned on the podcast, Ryan lives in the gayest part of Los Angeles, so it'll be interesting to see you cruise around for some late night New Year's Eve action.
Sean, be fair. let's be fair to the city. It's the gayest part of the country, not just Los Angeles.
I don't know. I feel like the Castro probably gives it a run for its money.
Yep. You've obviously never been down here for Halloween. Anyway.
You're going to see some balls drop one way or another, Ryan.
Oh, well done, Sean. Well done.
Can't help myself.
New Year's Day, noon East Coast. Oh man, that's early. On what? What's this?
West
not
Coast.
Not ESPN. Too many games. It's on ESPNU. We got the North Texas. What are they, like the Green Frogs or some shit like that?
Oh wait, Ryan, did we miss Nebraska Georgia?
Oh, did I skip a game?
Well, they're both at the same time.
Yeah, sorry. We can do that one first. We'll start with Nebraska versus Georgia. It is the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. And, ooh, I like this Georgia team. It was kind of a bummer to see all the injuries. Georgia's laying 9 points here. It's going to be Aaron Murray's last game. I think he's going to want to go out as the best, arguably the best player in the history of Georgia football. I know the public is all over Nebraska here. I know this spread's way too big. I just have a feeling Murray is going to will his team to a big, big win. The only way they and I mean, this was a disappointing season because of all the injuries. I think they're going to want to blow the roof off. And honestly, Nebraska's not that good. This is totally under normal circumstances. I feel like I'm taking the points here, but Aaron Murray's last game, I think this is big.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'll also go with Georgia here. And it's more a bet against Nebraska's coach, Bo Pelini.
Oh, he's
an idiot. I think when you get this long layoff coaching, you want to factor that in a little bit more than you normally would because you just have a ton of time to game plan.
Yeah.
So a smarter coach is going to be more well prepared. Rest disparity, guys being banged up isn't really a factor as much. So I think, when you're handicapping these games, you want to factor in coaching a little bit more than you might normally would. So,
for sure.
I think Georgia has a big advantage there. And like you said, Murray wants to go out in style. So give me Georgia -9.
I'm with you, Sean. All right, moving on. Back to the big Heart of Dallas Bowl. or whatever. Yep, the Heart of Dallas Bowl. I'm guessing this is in Dallas. North Texas.
Well played, right?
I was kind of half kidding. North Texas takes on UNLV, who, man, Sean, the last time UNLV was in a bowl game, it was, wow, 13 years ago in the first bowl they played in outside of Las Vegas since 1984. It's basically going to be a home team, a home game for this North Texas team. North Texas had a very good year. UNLV, I don't know if you watch UNLV play at all, but they're kind of garbage. Kind of remarkable that they were able to get to 7-5. Not the most impressive schedule. North Texas is laying 6 in this game. Sean, 6.5 in some shops. I think they might blow out UNLV. I think UNLV is really bad. I really like North Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a miracle that that UNLV got to be bowl eligible. UNLV, I think their season win total, the over under was 2.5 games.
Yeah. They overperformed it.
Yeah. So if there was a look ahead line for this game at the beginning of the season, I think it'd probably have been like 28. So I think that's, UNLV, I think, is getting way too much credit at having it only be -6. They're just not a good team. I mean, they've definitely overperformed, but I don't see them being able to do that.
Little inside information, Sean.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently UNLV was planning on getting a charter flight for a bunch of alum to go out to the game, but they it was either going to cost too much or they didn't get enough interest, so they scrapped it. So who knows how many people will be at this game. Sean, I just want to read off this schedule because I really want people to see how bad this team is. Here are their wins. Central Michigan, Western Illinois, at New Mexico. That's a win I'll count. Hawaii, at Nevada. That's a huge win for them. And then Air Force and at home against San Diego State. Look, none of these wins are anything to write home about. I don't know. Anyway. Love North Texas. Moving on. Oh, Sean. This is another game I love. And these games are all out of order. Why can't they just, these multiple start times. All right, Capital One Bowl. Now we're down to the classy bowls that sound right. We got South Carolina taking on Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 2-point favorite. This Wisconsin team was all over the map. I mean, they lost to Penn State. They beat Arizona State. And then you got Jadeveon Clowney, his last game, probably. I know the public seems to be all over the Big Ten team here, or maybe they're not. It's a bad split, but there's one thing I learned this year watching college football. The Big Ten's garbage. Period. So give me the SEC team getting the 2 points.
All right. I'll take you know what? I'm going to go Wisconsin. I'll tell you why. Jadeveon Clowney doesn't have heart, Ryan. Just the way he handled, like, wanting to randomly rest himself and the whole injury thing.
That's a case feels of like, too much media, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. Doesn't sit well with this handicapper, Ryan. Like I said, I'm a gut handicapper. My gut's telling me something's wrong with this Gamecocks team. At the root of them, give me Wisconsin, the Big Ten.
Yeah, the old ball coach will have them going. All right, let's see here. Moving on. Ooh, this is the game I really wanted to get to, Sean. It is the Outback Bowl. Nice. See, that's another classy bowl game.
Just like Outback's classy.
LSU.
Sit down.
LSU takes on Iowa. The spread is 7. I believe Zach Mettenberger is out. Is that true? Yep.
I would have to look that up.
It's true. He's out. But again, the Big Ten is garbage. And LSU is LSU. I think they have the athletes without Mettenberger, even if the back, I think it's Anthony Jennings, is that his name, maybe? I just think we got, I know that Iowa is typically a well-coached team, but I'll take the Mad Hatter and the athletes over a well-coached Iowa team full of white guys, bottom line.
Now, what was the spread on this?
7.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with LSU. They were my kind of dark horse BCS champ in the preseason.
They didn't have a defense this year.
No, they didn't. And obviously a little bit of a disappointment for a guy like me who had him going all the way. But still, I think still a solid team. And SEC had some quality wins there. So, yeah, I'll go with LSU.
All right, Sean. Here we go. As Brent Musburger would say, it's the granddaddy of them all. Isn't it so creepy when you hear those commercials? He gets so excited. It's like the same voice he used to describe AJ McCarron's girlfriend. It's that weird, like, it's the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, it's very creepy old man.
Which is kind of endearing at the same time. And I look, Brent Musburger has to be one of my favorite analysts just based on the fact that he's one of the few guys that makes references to gambling every game.
Yeah, he makes references to gambling, and he's basically jump-started two separate hot chicks.
Yeah.
He's jump-started in their hot chick career just by pointing them out in the audience. So this guy's doing he's doing stuff for the economy. He's doing stuff to talk to gamblers, and he's doing stuff to help promote hot chicks. What is there not to like?
He's kind of like everyone else. He's saying what everyone else is thinking, watching the game at home.
Well, and also, he's not like total gimmick, like Dick Vitale or something.
No, he just
talks. Like obnoxious and whatever. He's a guy who does know his stuff as well. And I mean, not that Dick Vitale doesn't, but it's just his broadcasting style is so gimmicky where Musburger just, you just want to hear him talk football.
Sean, if you want to, and everyone should look this up, probably the call of the year from Brent Musburger. They were calling the Ohio State Northwestern game, and for those of you who didn't see it, I believe Ohio State was favored by something more than a field, was like 6, something like that. And Northwestern, they're down 3, and they run that last play, and they start lateraling the ball, and somehow it gets kicked all the way back to the end zone. Northwestern guy tries to fall on it. A safety would have been fine. Wouldn't have covered it. But no, he misses it. Ohio State gets the touchdown, and all Musburger says is, whoa. Oh, some of our friends out in the desert aren't too happy about that.
It's just such like, a great line.
Yeah, no, I just love how I guess he tries to be coy about it, but it's like you're not being. Anyway, Rose Bowl.
Well, real quick, side note, speaking of broadcasters, what's happened to Gus Johnson?
Fox. Unless there's some news I don't know about. He's the main guy for Fox College Football.
Okay. So
Fox Sports One has been. Sorry, what was that?
I see Fox as the AT&T Cotton Bowl.
He'll be calling that. And Sean, now that Fox has their Fox Sports One and Sports Two networks, he's been doing basketball. The other day, I think a Saturday or two ago. No college football to watch, so I flip on, I start watching my college basketball, and what do I hear? It's a Syracuse, like, St. John's game, and Gus Johnson's calling it. I was like, oh, this is great. I'm definitely watching college basketball on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, I don't know, he's, seemed like he was on top of the world, and then almost like went out of his way to kind of pull himself back.
Well, based on an interview I heard of his on Bill Simmons' podcast, it sounds like he kind of pulled back because he was doing so much. He was doing the Madden thing. He was doing the NFL. He was doing March Madness. He was doing Big Ten. He was doing the New York Knicks radio broadcast. And he sounds like he pulled back so he could spend more time with his kids. So,
what a loser.
I know, right?
Well, real quick, speaking of Syracuse and loser, Ryan, you're a buddy. And my buddy as well, Vicious V, had a Cuse rolling over Minnesota. You guys are going back and forth on the Twitter. Just a reminder, they pulled it out 21-17 over the Gophers.
Right, I was wrong. but you know, can't win them all.
In your defense, I leaned to the Gophers as well, but didn't want to put it out to my clients as a play.
Oh, selling picks now, Sean. Gone over the dark side.
Anyway. I love those douchebags when they say stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. Right.
Rose Bowl. Pasadena, California. This game's always fun, cause you see all the people wandering around LA. This year we got Stanford. We got Michigan State. Somehow this spread is 6. It's almost like they didn't watch Michigan State's defense against Ohio State. Much better offense than Stanford. Stanford's pretty one-dimensional. They got to run the ball. Hogan's not going to pass the ball. I don't see how you back the favorite here. I think you got to take Michigan State. I don't see any way they lose by a touchdown.
Oh, man, I love Stanford.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Just a super physical team. I mean, they handled Oregon. I think they can just – they just seem like a team that's tough to stop. They're tough to tackle. They control the ball. And, you know, that whole thing of just a run control or, you know, a running offense, ball control, super physical team is tough to slow down.
Yep. I forgot. I understand why you picked them. It's because you love Andrew Luck. Makes so much sense.
I have deep. Well, he is our generation's.
Dan Marino?
John Elway.
Oh, okay.
All right. Ryan, first two seasons in the league, he's won the division back to back.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive.
We don't need to talk about the NFL right now, Sean.
Hands down, Andrew Luck over Cam Newton. Hands down.
Oh, right now starting a franchise?
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Well, that's good. I would love to have the second pick behind you so I can say Cam Newton.
Okay.
All right, Sean, somehow.
If you guys want to weigh in, hit us up at Twitter @GamblingPodcast. Who would you rather?
Oh.
Sean's backing Andrew Luck. Ryan's backing Cam Newton.
Come on. Everyone wants to get on the Cam wagon.
I don't care for Cam Newton.
I know.
I don't know if I've made that clear on this podcast.
Look, Sean, we get it. You're from
Philly. He's been less of a douche this year, though, to his credit. His press conferences are not as bad as they were last year. The guy was really annoying me. Okay, let's go to UCF Baylor.
Yeah, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Somehow we got blessed with the this seems like it's a complete uninteresting matchup. Baylor, who's been putting up a million points on everyone, versus UCF, who coincidentally, Sean, I am in Orlando or in the suburbs of Orlando. By the beach, and UCF is kind of the local school around here, and the local news crews are saying how they're going out to Arizona, and they're going to be there all week with all the fans. So this is a huge deal for UCF. This is probably the biggest bowl game they'll ever play in, ever. Baylor, I don't know. It's hard not to take Baylor. Baylor just puts points up on everyone. I don't know.
Ryan, what's the spread here?
Oh, I'm sorry. The spread's 16.5, Sean. What's that, Sean?
I'll tell you why. I feel like these high-powered offenses that put up a ton of points struggle with the long layover.
Yeah, so Sean, sorry. You're going to go with Central Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You cut out for a second.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I'm going to go with Central Florida getting 16.5 because I think these taking a lot of time off, if you have a high-octane offense, I think hurts you. I think it helps teams that rely on being physical and less sort of like the timing stuff and the quick – I don't know. I just think if you're a team who puts up a lot of points with big plays like that, I think your timing can kind of be thrown off, especially in the passing game.
Yeah.
Where I think the time off favors a team like Stanford that just pounds the ball, very simple. And, I think – like you said, UCF, this is their Super Bowl. They're going to be up for this game. So, yeah, they'll take 16.5.
Yeah, and you kind of took a note right out of my play. I think that, like you said, the teams that rely on this timing, bang, bang, bang offense, I think the time off does hurt them. And not to mention, UCF, they have a quarterback by the name of Blake Bortles, I believe his name is, and he suddenly is skyrocketing into a potential first round, top 10 pick even. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Go ahead. I think I think this has potential upset written all over it. I do think Baylor, I think Baylor could have some trouble with this UCF team. I'm certainly going to grab the points here. I do wonder if the spread will go up. It seems like Baylor is a team that will get backed no matter what based on their scoring. Yeah, right now they're a slight, public team. Yeah, I still think that's a lot of points. I'm going to grab those points. All right, Sean. Thursday, January 2nd, 8:30 East Coast, ESPN, the Sugar Bowl. Good game here. Alabama takes on Oklahoma. Bob Stoops finally gets to play an SEC team. Of course, he always runs his mouth about the lack of quarterbacks in the SEC. That's why their defenses are so good. I don't know. This is a tough game to handicap. The spread is 15. This is a tough game to handicap because, really, I mean, look, it's Nick Saban, and anytime Nick Saban has a month, I feel like I would back him, especially with Bob Stoops being the kind of the complete opposite. He always seems to shit the bed. But are they really going to be there? They were supposed to be in the national championship, going for a third straight. Are they going to come out flat? I mean, if they come out flat, can they really cover a 15-point spread? I don't know. This is interesting. I mean,
yeah, 15's a weird number to handicap too. I think I'll go Oklahoma here in the points. That's a lot of points for a solid team who've had a couple. Obviously, they had a letdown against Texas, but they've had a couple decent wins this year. And what, they only had two losses, right?
Who? Oklahoma, two losses. Yep.
Yeah, they're a two-loss team. I still think Alabama's the best country or the best team in the country, but I think 15's a little high, especially. Yeah, I don't know. That just feels a little high.
It's not like Oklahoma doesn't have athletes. If this was Oklahoma State or Missouri, I just think the fact that it's Oklahoma, they're a team that gets tons of talent, and I do like kind of the angle of Bob Stoops finally gets to my concern is they don't really have a quarterback. It's the one year that Bob Stoops doesn't really have a quarterback. But yeah, I can't. I don't think I can take Alabama laying the points. I'll take Oklahoma there. I don't think I'm going to be betting on this game though, but I'll definitely watch. This might be a good live betting game. As in the past, Alabama in situations like this have come out flat. So you never know. Moving on.
All right. Sounds
Friday,
good.
Friday, January 3rd. Gus Johnson special here, and they couldn't have picked two better teams. 7:30 East Coast kick on Fox. We got the Cotton Bowl. We're going to see Missouri.
Oh, wait, Ryan, did we get the...
Did I skip something again?
Oh, no. It's just the... Never mind. It's the way this ESPN list is.
Yeah.
You have the Orange Bowl next, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Cotton Bowl, Missouri takes on Oklahoma State. Two high-powered teams, which is... Well, I guess I would recommend taking the over. I mean, you know when Gus Johnson calls a game, they're going over.
It's
going
to be exciting.
Missouri, who, with the exception of the Auburn game and the crazy overtime loss to South Carolina, I mean, look, this is a good team. Oklahoma State, also a good team. This is maybe one of the better bowl games of the season. Missouri is a 1-point favorite. Missouri should be a 3-point favorite. I like Missouri.
Yeah, I like Missouri as well. Like you said, that loss to Auburn, only one of their few losses. And then also that was Auburn, I think, different team in the dome with that kind of with their athletes there. I think that really helped them. So. I think,
Sean, where's this game? Is this a Jerry's World?
This is, AT&T oh wait. Stadium? Yeah.
That's what I thought.
AT&T Stadium. So wait, is that, yeah, that is his thing, right?
Yeah. Remember he had to sell the naming rights because he apparently doesn't have enough money.
God, what a douche.
Yeah. Anyway, I think,
Yeah, concern. No, I agree. Obviously, it's gonna. This should be a great game. You got a 1-point spread. You got Gus Johnson. A lot of opportunities for excitement here, but I'm gonna have to go Missouri.
Yeah, my only concern, and the over/under is 60.5, which that seems a little low. My only concern is that Missouri did not make any adjustments against Auburn. They did not force that kid to pass the ball nearly enough. So that would be my main concern, is that their coaches maybe aren't the best in-game adjusters, but I still think they're just a more talented team, especially with the wide receivers out wide. Moving on, Sean, the Orange Bowl. Clemson versus Ohio State. This could be a huge smack to the face of Ohio State and douchebag coach. They miss out on the national championship game, and now they get to play a quote-unquote second-rate ACC school. Look, Taj Boyd, he's on his way out. Sammy Watkins, this is like their last game as Clemson Tigers. The spread is, wow, okay. Really thought Clemson was going to be favored in this game, Sean. Ohio State's favored by 3. I don't know if you guys watched Ohio State played Michigan State, but look, they have holes. Clemson is I think it's the more complete team, more leadership, a little bit more defense, and more athletes. I think this is going to be a shootout. This total can't go high enough. It's 68.5 right now. I'd probably still bet the over. This feels like a game there could easily be 80, 90 points. And I'm going to take the dog with Clemson. I think Clemson's a better team.
I kind of like Ohio State here. I know they blew their chance for the BCS, but I don't know.
This team hasn't had to react to a loss in 2 years, Sean.
I know, but that's almost an argument for them. The idea is that they just don't lose. So, yeah, I mean, they're a very competitive team. As much as I don't like their coach, I think he is a very competent coach. Again, having this long period off, I think Ohio State's going to be fired up, and I think they win this game and cover.
Oh. What do you think about the over-under?
I haven't had much luck picking totals this season, regardless. But if I had to lean one way, I'd lean the under, actually.
Oh, fade the public. All right, Sean. Oh, it's the BBVA Compass Bowl. What is BBVA?
Love this time of year.
What is this?
I think a BBVA is some sort of banking thing, but I don't know.
These banks, why do they have so much money to spend on this bullshit?
All right, well, it's funny, like, they have all these big games, and then they have the Compass Bowl and then the GoDaddy Bowl before the BCS game.
It's like filler. It's like the crap you put in salad, you know? It's like, you don't really...
Lettuce?
Nah, just all the crap you put in. It's all filler.
Croutons?
Yeah. It's just to consume your jaw while you're waiting for your main course. All right, Houston takes on Vanderbilt. 1 p.m. East Coast kick. Vanderbilt is a 2.5-point favorite. I know very little about this Houston team. I do know that this Vanderbilt team is a scrappy, scrappy team. But they're also, you know what? I'm going to take Vanderbilt. They're a well-coached team.
What's the spread?
You know what? Vanderbilt's going to be without their quarterback. Vanderbilt has one of the best receivers in the country, Jordan Matthews. The spread's 2.5, Sean. Vanderbilt being the favorite. I'm going to take the dog here. I think Vanderbilt being without their quarterback, they had a really good, him and Matthews had a really good kind of relationship on and off the field, leading to good chemistry on the field. I think this kid from Houston, I think he's either a redshirt freshman or a true freshman. I think he continues his great year, and I think Houston maybe wins this game. I think this feels like a 23-17 game. Houston wins.
Yeah, I'll go Houston as well. Ryan, one thing I can assure you is we will not be watching this game. This is right in the heart of a wild card weekend.
Oh, so. Why would they do this? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and then
none of these January 4th and 5th games will not be watched.
Yeah, Sunday, January 5th, 9 p.m. East Coast. I guess it's on after.
So maybe
football.
Then, yeah,
that's
maybe
what
that's
it is. After. The Saturday game's on before, and the Sunday game's on after. It's the GoDaddy Bowl, which will surely feature some sweet teaser videos where you don't see any boobs or anything. Ball State.
Go to see the unrated commercial online.
Stop it, Sean. Ball State takes on Arkansas State. I was on Ball State all year after getting a random tip from a dude in a sports book in Vegas. They're beast. They do, I think every time I bet on them this year, they covered Sean. In this game, they're 8.5 point favorites. That does not scare me a bit. I'm going to keep rolling with my Ball State, whatever their nicknames are.
The Fighting Sacks.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go Ball State as well here. I'll ride your random tip as well. Honestly, I haven't seen a lot from either of these teams, but like you said, I do know Ball State did cover a lot this year, so I'll let that. I'll ride that. Whatever
yeah,
that trip is.
I should point out, I know nothing about Arkansas State, but I like Ball State.
Neither do I.
All right, who cares? National championship Monday, January 6th, 8:30 East Coast kick. Florida State versus Auburn. Sean, Florida State's laying 8.5. I don't know if we talked. I certainly was on record, probably spoke on the podcast. I really thought this spread was going to be closer to two touchdowns than it is to one touchdown. I already have Florida State in a couple teasers. I like Florida. I'll probably end up betting Florida State. I would certainly recommend taking Florida State up to 10 points. They're the total package, and I'll tell you what you're going to see. 5 weeks to prepare for this Auburn rushing attack, you know what they're going to do. And the only way I'm wrong about this pick is if, for whatever reason, Florida State is stubborn and doesn't force them to pass. But you're going to see Florida State. Look, Florida State has, like you've been hearing a lot of analysts say over the last couple weeks, Florida State is an SEC team in the ACC. Forget about their high-powered offense. Their defense is stacked with athletes and speed. They can play sideline to sideline. They can hit you. I think they're going to really give Auburn some trouble running the ball and going to force the pass, and I think that's going to be bad news for Auburn. Meanwhile, I think Jameis Winston, he just rolls here. I think they're going to score and score and score. We've seen it. Auburn does not have a good defense. And look, let's say both offenses are equally good, which I think Florida State's is better. So even if you concede that the offenses are equal, Florida State has a clear edge on defense. I think Florida State's the play here, big time, big money.
Ryan?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, but you're wrong. Go ahead.
I'm going to shock the world.
Oh, by the way, it's the Vizio BCS National. They sell
got
these
me
cheap ass TVs, and yet they're spending how much money on this fucking bowl game? Unbelievable.
Auburn, it's the team of destiny, Ryan.
No.
Yeah. In all your handicapping, didn't mention that this Auburn Tigers team is a team of destiny. They're 1,000-to-1 shot. They're going to win outright. They're going to break the bank in Las Vegas. And, oh, man. If there's any Auburn fan, anyone who took an Auburn future bet, please send that in. Send a picture of that in. When they hit this game, you got to be loving life.
Yeah, so
1,000-to-1, you should probably hedge a little bit. But no, I know everything points to Florida State being a better team, and they are, Ryan. They are. But I like Auburn. I like Auburn getting the points. I agree. It's probably not enough points. And there's a, and I see the case for Florida State. I get it. But Auburn just, they defy traditional handicapping, this team right now. And, I don't know. Even seemingly when you thought they would have a letdown game after that Alabama game, they still showed up. So for me, that was the real sign. The fact that they showed up for the SEC championship game, a game they didn't really need per se, a game they didn't really care about per se, and still won and won convincingly. Obviously Florida State's a much better team, but I think that kind of, we got nothing to lose. No one believed in us. It's just been me and Charles Barkley riding the Auburn bandwagon. So give me Auburn one more time, catching 8.5.
You know what? I think I would agree with you more if the game wasn't 5 weeks after the last game. I think that hurts Auburn in this momentum, the train they've been riding.
Hey, I get that. I just think I can't bet against Auburn right now. I just can't do it.
So real quick, you mentioned that Auburn was going off at 1,000-1 before the season.
Yes, I did.
According to Jay Cornegy, I think they said they had, what, 10 bets or maybe $1,000 worth of bets or something like that. Maybe $100. It was something crazy. But, yeah, if anyone has a ticket of Auburn from before the season, they got to send that picture. And that's awesome. That would, yeah, I mean, that's crazy. That's absolutely, I mean, when a team's odds are, basically any team that has odds worse than 50-1 is really, I mean, especially in college football where you really don't have a chance. Like, you, usually when your odds are that bad, you legitimately don't have a chance based on the fact that it's BCS. You know, you actually have to get lucky and go undefeated and all this other shit. So,
yeah, no. It's you're starting out being unranked. So even to get into a position where you could play for the national championship is.
But yeah, Sean, I got to tell you, man, I really think Florida State could just make a statement, end the SEC's run of national championships in the BCS's final year. I just, honestly, like, we should wrap it up with a couple locks. I think that the games that I will be certainly betting my biggest amount on will be Florida State. Will be Duke. And
I like Duke.
And I think it's going to, I think that's probably it, but I really think I'm going to put a little bit on Texas. If we got to pick one dog, one long shot, I think mine will be Texas. I think Texas has a shot against Oregon.
Yeah, my big three, I go Duke, Texas, and Stanford.
Okay, no, so I should mention the other, for my third lock.
Sorry, Duke, Texas, UCLA, and Stanford.
Oh, why you guys throw UCLA in there, man?
Just to rub it in, right?
Well, now you know it's going to feel weird when you
know they're going to get worked. You know they're going to get worked.
They're not capable of getting worked with that defense. Anyway,
yeah they're going to lose. They're going to lose 10-0 or 13-3.
I'll go Florida State, Duke, and Arizona State probably. But follow, you know, stay tuned.
What's their team total, Ryan?
What's that? Virginia Tech. I'm surely it's not out yet, but if I had to guess, it would be, what's the total? 27. So they'll probably make Virginia Tech's 21.5.
Ooh. Like that.
That's probably an underplay. I kind of like the under for the game, so.
Yeah, the under is 47. UCLA is 7-point or favorite, so probably 27-20 would be the team total.
Yeah.
Ryan, what's higher, Eli Manning INTs in week 17 or Virginia Tech touchdowns? That's a legitimate prop bet.
I'm going to go – I think Virginia Tech might shock you a bit. And I think Eli throws 1 or 0. So I'm going to go Virginia Tech, scoring 3 touchdowns.
All right, I'll take Eli Manning over. Eli Manning over interceptions versus Virginia Tech touchdowns.
Oh, all right. I feel like we should, 25 push-ups, Sean?
All right. Well, let's do, yeah, sure, 25 push-ups, and then we'll put it up on the website.
Yeah. all right. Happy hunting, Sean.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up. Thanks as always for tuning into the podcast, guys. Hit us up on the Twitter @GamblingPodcast, Facebook, Google+, iTunes, Stitcher, the whole nine. Thank you guys for tuning in for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Oh, playoffs almost here, Sean. Less
Kramer
than a week.
It ride.